Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis. We're three lines from the bottom, the words of Amar, de Amrinan. So again, we're in the middle of a question. We just said that I would have thought beforehand that the Achos Isha, the wife's sister, and any other Erva may be taken in Yibum. So the Gemara says, as I would have said, in Ase as Doche Los Ase, and that's why I needed the Pasuk. So the Gemara has a question on that. But why Amar de Amrinan Ase Ase Vedoche Los Ase? So when do we use the principle that if you have a mitzvah Ase that can only be done, and it's going to override a Los Ase, a negative Isra in the Torah, is when you have Los Ase greater, is only with regards to an ordinary lav. However, Los Ase Sheis Bekares Midache, but where do I know that the Isser of Kares is going to be overrided also? We're going to see that the Torah only specifies a time where we're going to override an essay, and a Los Ase is with regards to, let's say, Shatnez and Tzitzis. So there, and Amila B'Saras, those examples are things which are not an Isser of Kares. However, Kares is more severe, so where do I know that an Isser Kares should be overrided by a mitzvah of a mitzvah in the Torah of mitzvah sase? A very fundamental question that Tosos asks over here that really shown him and Achronim all handle this question, a lot of lumdas behind this, is that why is the Gemara assuming that this isn't being overrided as it is with regards to the mitzvah of Yibum? We know that normally there's an Isser d'Areisa for a person to marry his brother's wife. Yet that's uprooted in the mitzvah of Yibum. So, and that's an Isser d'Areisa that Tiesh Bokar is to marry a brother's wife. So, and that's even after the brother dies. So at the end of the day, how is this going to be any different than this case? Why is that being considered overrided? So Tosso says that Yibum is unique, and it's the only possible way you can fulfill the mitzvah is by overriding this lav, and there is no other form of the mitzvah, whereas the other things that we're mentioning, where you have chalitza and other of the like, that is not necessarily going to be... you can have chalitza by the achosash, theoretically. So no, it's those things, but Yibum specifically is going to be not necessarily a raya. Others explain that more fundamentally, that no, when it comes to Yibum, when it comes to Yibum by Ishus Ach, when the brother who was married to his previous wife who died without any children, that's what's not, it's not called Dechuya. It's not like we have this lav in the Torah, and the Torah is removing and saying that if you do the mitzvah, the lav is removed. Rather, that's Dechuya. Rather, it's Hutra. It's totally and gansen removed. There is as if there is no Isra whatsoever. Hutra and Dechuya is a very common concept that is actually used throughout Shas and even Halacha L'Maaseh with a lot of different shaylas. Let's say Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos. So Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos are fundamentally shayla. That is Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, Hutra or Dechuya. It's actually Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Is it Hutra or Dechuya? Meaning that when your person's wife is pregnant and she's going to the hospital, so do you have to avoid any Chilul Shabbos? That obviously would not inhibit the Shaila Pikuach Nefesh, but when you're already doing it and you could do things in a certain way with the Shinoi opening the door and things like that, do you have a Chiev to do it or not? Is it Hutra or Dechuya? Do you assume that Pikuach Nefesh, so you don't have any Shaila, you do everything totally normal, you don't have to do anything whatsoever? Or if it's not going to inhibit, not going to at all whatsoever have a Shaila Pikuach Nefesh, so then no, you should try to do as many Shinoi as possible. So this is a fundamental Shaila Hutra or Dechuya in many instances. And here also, that's what they explain, that when it comes to Yibum to answer this Kasha, they say that it's Hutra. It's Medayik and Rashi like that also. Rashi and yesterday's daf, Eishes Alchem Shalayah Be'omo, Rashi says Shari Rachmana. Shari Rachmana sounds like it's mamish permitted, and it's not even a shiloh whatsoever. Again, this is a very big raid in the Achronim. And one more thing just to point out also, now we're going to be discussing Eishes Alos Alos for a little bit over here, this whole daf and the Navarro. So we're going to be discussing Eishes Alos Alos Alos, just in Machshava. Why in the world do we have Eishes Alos Alos Alos? So the famous Ramban, the Ramban Al Torah, the Ramban tells us that in Machshava, very nice idea, the Ramban tells us that in Shmos, Ramban says that when it comes to a mitzvah asay, when you're doing a mitzvah asay, you are showing your avas Hashem. When I'm showing my avas Hashem, so that's something I love Hashem. That's why I'm doing this fear. And I don't necessarily, we don't do a mitzvah necessarily out of fear. Sometimes little kids or they're younger, their parents put it in fear, or like to put on tefillin and daven. But I'm saying overall, when a person does a mitzvah asay, it's a bechina of loving Hashem. And why do you avoid doing avera? Because you have fear of Hashem. So in general, which one is greater, love or fear? So Chazal already told us that in general, like we know by tshuva ma'ava and doing things ma'ava is much greater level. That obviously, Ava Matohira is also a very special, that's the highest level, that's what the Rambam about Yirah Shemayim. But what's greater, Ava? Yirah, in general, Ava is greater. So generally, love of Hashem is greater than fear of Hashem. That's why he explains with Machshava why we have Esei Doche Lo Sase. Anyway, so back to over here, that we said, Yeshba Lo Sase Shif Bakaris Midachi, is it going to override a prohibition that has the Isra of Kari? Tell us Tosas Kasha, we have an answer. Why Yibum is different, even though there really is Karis by Yibum. Anyway, Vesu, and another Kasha, Lo Sase Greida Midalad Doche. Where do I know in general that that we have this concept of Ase Doche Lo Sase? So this is not necessarily relevant to Yibum, just in general. Where do I see that there's a concept of Esed Ochalos Esed? So now we're turning on to the next summit on top of Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is going to answer now, really at length over here. The Gemara is going to spend the next two dafim really discussing this idea of Esed Lo Seh Lo Chaseh, and then afterwards, after all of that, the Gemara is going to come back to the very first question we had, is that where do we know that Esed Docha Lo Seh does not apply to Kari? So first we're just going to discuss the concept of Esed Docha Lo Seh Bechlal. So says the Gemara, Dechsim, Lo Silba Shatnez Gedidim Tazelach, that you shall not wear Shatnez, the Pasuk in Devarim, and then after, right after that, the Pasuk says, right afterwards, you should Gedidim Tazelach, you should make for yourself literally fringes that are twined together, that meaning those are referring to tittis. Tittis, four quarters on the Gedilim Taz Barba Knafos Kusecha, Shed Chazelab, the four corners of your garment. So the fact that these two things are mentioned next to each other, the fact that they're mentioned in consecutive psukim, those are teaching you that you can learn from it that where the Isra of Shatnez is going to be applicable, that you have wool and linen, that if you have tzitzis, then that overrides the Isra de Oraisa of wool and linen, and therefore you'd be allowed to put on tzitzis even if it's going to have Shatnez in it, and it is removed. So that's a very nice explanation of why we have, where you see from there. So Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Smuchim and Atar, Aminayan, where do I know that you have the right to darshan out two psukim that are mentioned to each other? Why is this mentioned next to that? So says Rabbi Elazar, because Shneimar Smuchim La'Olam Asum B'Yemes Yasha, the pasuk in Tehillim says they're literally joined forever, for life, for eternity. They, the psukim, are in truth and uprightness. So this is teaching us that if you have psukim that are together, it's not random. Obviously, Chas V'Shalom, Hashem gave us all the Torah Kula. Everything is to be learned of it, but we can actually learn Halacha L'Maaseh, not just B'Machshava. You can even learn Halacha L'Maaseh points. The fact that they're mentioned together. So says the Gemara, Avi Amrav Sheishes Amrav Elazar Meshum Elazar Ben Azariah Minayim Liavama Shnafleifnei Mukashchin Shein Chos Menosa. An additional proof that we can be darshan smuchin is, how do I know that if a Yavama came before a Yibum to her brother-in-law and he had Mukashchin, he had boils, disgusting boils all over his face, all over his body, and he was disgusting. So she doesn't want to marry him. So how do I? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. He could force her. I want to be mekayem a mitzvah d'oraisa and marry my brother's wife who died without any children. How do we know that in chos minosa? We don't literally muzzle her. Why in the world are we using the word chsima of muzzling? Why does that have to do with muzzling? Because we're going to mention the pasuk. That's why. Shenemar lo sasam shorbedisha. There's an issur d'oraisa that's actually in Makos we're going to learn out. That's the classic that you need a lav sheish b'maisa to be chayav Makos. But we're learning a different drasha right now. We're learning that you're not allowed to muzzle a ox while it's threshing. V'samech lei, and right next to it, it mentioned right next to it, The pasuk says right after lo sasam shor bedisho, it says ki yeshu anashim yachta v'meisach adem in lo si yesha meisach chutzal ishar yivam yavaleh lo kalon yishu yamav. The whole pasuk that talks about the mitzvah of yibum is in conjunction in next to the pasuk that's talking about lo sasam bedisho. So we see the concept of muzzlement applies somewhat in marriage, and what this means that if the woman is disgusting, then because she's mukashchin, that it would be something that would be grounds for her to refuse the marriage with the yavam. It would force the yavam to do chalitza and not to do yibum. There's a fundamental machlokas rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, is does this apply if another reason, a valid reason, he's a gambler, someone who's just not a respectable person in the community, and she really doesn't want to marry him. So whatever it is, something that's not necessarily an erva, but something that's very bothersome to her. If it's a valid reason, according to Rashi much later on in the Masechta and Daf Lamed Tes, Rashi says that you'd be allowed to reject her and we'd force her to do chalitza. Tosa says no. Only specifically when you have something that's on the level of, you have to figure out what would be that level, with something like a tamuka shchin, someone who has boils, something that's on that level, with Gemara and Ksuba has different levels of things that a woman can refuse and have her Ksuba, get her Ksuba and force a divorce. So we're going to have Meshem, that's Ksuba, since I have the parak there. So Meshem, we get to that, we'll see. So maybe Tosa would assume that only things that are on that same level would be things that you can force to not do Yibum for. So now anyway, so the Gemara is saying over here, we see that there's a concept of Smuchin in the Torah, and we see over here that will apply two psukim that specifically related to each other when they're next to each other. I mean, if they seem like they're not related to each other, but they're next to each other, we'll have what to learn from A from B. So now the Gemara continues. V'amar Rav Yosef, afiluman de lo darish smuchim bi'alma. Now Rav Yosef points out that there is a machlokas tanaim whether we darshan smuchin, as we're going to get to and see. However, b'mishnah Torah darish, but when it comes to sefer mishnah Torah, always for the sefer Devarim. We do learn out these psukim, as the Gemara is going to explain why. We know Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana, who normally holds that we don't hold of smuchin. Yet, of a Mishnah Torah Darish, yet he himself does learn it out in Sefer Dvarim. So we see that this would appear to everybody, because that is in Sefer Dvarim. Everybody should agree that we'd have this concept of drasha in Sefer Dvarim. Now the Gemara asks, now how do I know Rabbi Yehuda does not learn out the psukim in Dvarim in general? Says the Gemara, "Desanim with Rabbi Yisa Ben Azay." Ben Azay says, "Never my chashifa lo secha yet." It says that Imachashifa, someone who is a sorcerer. Usually, a machshifa is usually a woman sorcerer, and because Dibra Kasuf Hover actually over there says that it's any sorcerer is a male also, but usually the women are the sorcerers and doing all these incantations to Avodah Zarah. Zerchayim Misa V'Nemar Kol Shel Chayim Beima Mos Yumas. And it also says in the next pasuk, anyone who's lying, who has relations with an animal, is going to be put to death. Samchu Inyan Lo. So we learn that we're learning out the subject of a machashefa, a sorceress, to the of so chotem imra to teach you masho chayim beima beskila, just as one who lies with an animal is chayim skila. And how do I know that? Rashi points out because it says beisha who has relations with an animal. It says the mehem bam. And whenever it says the Me'emam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a lot of limudim from the Me'emam. We had a few of those that we learn out from Ovin Yedoni. Ovin Yedoni are two types of also avodat zaradika things where you are. One is that you are asking for information in the future by taking a bone of an animal and you're putting it in the mouth, all this type of thing that you do, and you ask for what's going to happen in the future. That's going to be, and Yedoni is a similar thing. Ovin Yedoni are different types of also similar sorcery that you're going to be chayiv misa for, and they're chayiv skila. So whenever it says the man bam, you also learn skila. So we learn a shochev behema is chayiv skila, a woman is chayiv skila, af mechashiva men also af mechashiva beskila. So too, we're going to learn that a sorcerer is going to be chayiv stoning. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we see Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this drasha. Says Rabbi Yehuda, v'chim neishim, samkoin and zen, let's say skila. Just because the two psukim are next to each other, you're going to tell me that we should take the person who is in relation with an animal and chayiv skila? Who says they're chayiv skila at this point? You're going to give them most chayiv punishment, the most severe punishment of skila. We know skila is most chaver one, and we're not being stoned. Rashi says. So Zagmar says, Ella no, Ove Yedoni Bechla Machshiva. Rabbi Yehuda has different Joshua to learn why you're going to be Chayav Misa. Because Ove and Yedoni are in a category of generally sorcering. They're generally a type of sorcering, the type of thing of that similar to Avodah Zarah, which the Torah tells you you're going to be Chayav Misa for. So why are they different? Why do we say Machshiva L'Sechaya? Why are you mentioning Ove and Yedoni specifically? Velama Yatsu, why are they going out and being singled out? Lahakish Lam Velamar Lacha, to compare all of them to this halacha, Ma Ovidoni Beskila, just like Ovidoni Beskila, Av Mechashefa Beskila, which is actually familiar with the implication the Gemara is doing. We hopefully say this every day. And Rabbi Shmuel, this is a classic example of Kol Davar Shaya Bechlal. This, right? All of them are a type of incantations of sorcery that it's an Isra Dereisa and Isra Misa for. Now, Ovin Doni met Vyatim in a cloud Lamed, and now Ovin Doni are going out of the cloud to teach you. Lola met Alaytza, not just to teach you for Ovin Doni, rather, Allah Kal Kuyotzi, to teach you that for all halachas of these similar types of sorcery, you're going to be Chayav Misa, and not just Misa, you're going to be Chayav Skila. That's what we're learning out. Vala Miyatza, Lakish, Lama Lachamayav, Vidin Beskila, Machasheva Beskila, and that is this drasha that Rabbi Yehuda has. So we see Rabbi Yehuda generally is disagreeing with regards to the halacha. Do we accept the concept of a Ovi Yedoni? Do we accept the concept of sorcery? The concept of smuchim within Kol Torah Kula, except for Sefer Dvarim. Now the Gemara asks, but how do I know Mishnah Torah Minan LaDarsh? How do I know that Taka in Sefer Dvarim he does learn it out? This time we learn in the Mishnah, No Se Adam Anusas Aviv Umefusas Aviv. A person is allowed to marry a woman who was raped by his father, or a woman seduced by his father. In the case of being someone who was raped, being seduced, the Torah tells you that you, in general, you'd have to marry them. That's a punishment, only if they wanted to. They can obviously reject it, both examples. However, so that in case where a man, we know that there's an Isra Daraisa, the Pasuk says, Ervas Eishas Avicha Lo Segaleh. Ervas Kalascha Lo Segaleh Shabin Chayi. Those two Pesukim are going to be important because we're going to see about also a Unas Bino Mufusas Bino. The case of a daughter-in-law and the person of his father, those are Isra Daraisa only when we're learning this halacha, only when specifically it's going to be through marriage. So according to the Tanakhama, it's only, the Isra Daraisa according to the Tanakhama is only when they had it through marriage. However, if a person was raped or seduced by his father, then it's mutter for them to marry them. And the same thing with regards to the daughter-in-law, that the person's daughter-in-law was raped by the son, or seduced by the son, you'd be allowed to marry them. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, my time at Rabbi Yehuda." What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he say that it's usher? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Tanakhama says it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says usher. So what's the reasoning? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, "Lo yikach ish es eshes aviv." A man shall not marry the wife of his father. V'lo yigaleh knaf aviv. A person should not uncover literally the robe, the nakedness of his father. Knaf shara aviv lo yigaleh. It's talking about a son that shall not be uncovered with someone who has intimate relations with the literally the nakedness of his father, the woman with whom his father had relations with. Now, my denusik, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that this specifically is referring to a woman who has violated, raped, or seduced? How do I know it's not talking about someone who's only married? So Gemara says, Me'al ve'al dekra, because of the preceding pasuk, the preceding pasuk, the siv. The pasuk says that the person, the man, the pasuk right before says the man who was with her should give 50 shekel kesef. This is referred to a person who was raped. So that's the punishment of the 50 shekel kesef. And the pasuk right after says, "Samech le lo yikach ish es eshes aviv legana knaf aviv." So the psukim over there are right next to each other, and from the fact that they're right next to each other, Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn out that not just somebody who is married to the father, but anybody who had relations with her, like the pasuk right before, the person who was raped. That's what we learn from this psukim, that as long as they had been there, then we could learn out the psukim together. So lechora, when we mentioned that an essay zochel losu say from shittas to shatnes, that is going to be an agreed upon drasha by everybody. Even Rabbi Yehuda normally disagrees with using the concept of smuchin. Here he would agree to the concept of smuchin. So says the Gemara of Rabbanan. Now the Rabbanan, which is the Tanakama, what are they going to? How do they? Just the Gemara is just getting on a side point over here. But once we mention the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, why did the Rabbanan Taka disagree with the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda? So says the Gemara. Because if the pasuk of loygana knaf avid was right next to it, kidarmas, then I would agree with you that the loygana knaf avid was talking about the anus avid. It's not really next to it immediately. The pasuk of it's usually not Rebbe, but here just helpful that the pasuk of not marrying a wife's father is written in between them. So we don't have it's not mamish next to each other. Smuchin is only when psukim are immediately adjacent to each other. Here they're not. So therefore, it must not be. We're talking about a woman who's awaiting yibum by one's father, meaning that a person had an aunt. A person had an aunt that was married to his father's brother, and that father's brother, that uncle, passed away with no children. And now he's coming to his father for yibum, and the father never relations to it. So that the Gemara is telling you, you're still the chayav two lavin, lover lavin shnei lavin. A person that is never allowed to marry his father's brother's wife, his aunt by marriage, meaning his father's brother by blood, and then his wife. A person is an issa d'oraisa for a person to ever marry him, even after the uncle dies. It's usher for them to marry him. However, that is only one issa d'oraisa. Now, let's say that brother dies and is awaiting yibum by the father, but the father doesn't have relations yet. The father doesn't do yibum chalitza yet. And that man goes ahead and has relations with that lady or tries to marry that lady. So says the Gemara now, you'd be chayav two different prohibitions, you're chayav two different lavim, and that would be two different sets of makos. That's the nafkamina over here. Now the Gemara says, if Mishnah Torah Ma'ita, and the what is the reasoning Taka the Buddha learns it in Mishnah Torah? You could say because it's evident from the psukim that they're next to each other that we should learn it, or because in general it's going to be extra limudim that are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, because we already had the fourth four books of the Torah. The fact that it's coming out of its way to mention it in the first four, or in the fifth book, must be there's some extra halacha mentioned by the two being next to each other. Now you're going to tell me it's because it's evident. What does that mean? De'im kain. If it's so that the Rabbanan are arguing that the knaf aviv, so then you should mention lichtavik rachmana gabe arayos. Why doesn't that pasuk mention it? Why in Sefer Vayikra we mention all these three arayos? Since it was placed specifically in Sefer Devarim, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that it should be mentioned. It should be for that drasha. Vibay se'ima mishum demufne. Now if you're going to argue that it's because this specific phrase, again we're going back to halacha of the case of the avama of the case where the anusas aviv and mefutas aviv are there going to be chayav. The person is chayav for that. So Nidim Kain, if it's true, as Rabbanan said, lichtor chmana loyikach ishes aviv. A person should not marry his wife or his father, specifically, or in this case, we would be living on father's wife, it's specifically talking about Kiddushin. The fact that it doesn't mention is ishes aviv, loyikla knaf aviv, lamali, why is it knaf aviv? It's different lashon, literally the robe, which is his nakedness, the robe of his father, sounds like anybody who he had relations with. So therefore, shmaminab lefnuya. Therefore, we learn that it's coming to be made, literally, it's an open drasha for the purpose of being learned. Rabbi Yehuda therefore learns, and it's mentioned this thing, it's specifically talking about a man who had relations with his father, not necessarily through a marriage, and both those cases are going to be usher. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Just in general, Machshava, Rabbi Yehuda always quotes in the Rishonim, that the, also just in Machshava, that the first four books we have, in Muktam Mukhabar Torah. So the Torah wasn't specifically commanded in order, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu to put it down. But when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, which Moshe Rabbeinu asked Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu to write down, that was specifically mentioned in the order that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the way that should be mentioned, and therefore he had it organized, and everything is supposed to have the drasha from A to B. So now the Gemara goes back, having cleared Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Now we're going back to the concept of tittus and shatnes. Gemara says, "Vegabe tittus nami." The regard to tittus also. We could taina ibas ema mishum de muchach. We could taina that it's justified to have the limud because it's either because it's muchach, it's evident from the psukim that should be the case, or ibas ema mishum de mufna, or you could say there's an available drasha. Now again, how does it work? Again, so we're proving that with regards to that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this drasha applies. Ibas ema mishum de muchach. You're going to tell me because it's evident. De'im kain, because if it's the case that it was just there, lichtiv rachmana gavi parsha tzitzis, why don't you mention these psukim in Sefer Dvarim, parsha shlach, where we learn about the mitzvot tzitzis? Why are you mentioning this extra pasuk in Sefer Dvarim? Why did the Torah specifically go out of its way to mention Sefer Dvarim? It teaches you the concept of the halacha of shatness. So that's the lach of why you say that's muchach. Now also, if it's from the mufna, or you could say there's an extra drasha available. What's extra drasha? Michti, it says, because of veged klaim shatnez lo yalecha, it says that you should not wear a mixture of shatnez on you. So that's a pasuk in vayikra. Lo tabat shatnez lamale. Why do I need a drasha to teach you? You should not wear shatnez, tzemer, pishim, yachta, the wool and linen together. Shema minalef nuya, this is coming to make an available drasha to teach you that tzitzis are permitted in a certain circumstance, meaning that klaim is going to be permitted, that the isra of shatnez is permitted in a certain circumstance. Dainu, that circumstance is going to be when you have tzitzis. So the Gemara says, "Hani mitzvah tzriche," that these shatnez are both necessary though. De'ichas rachman alay alecha, because if the pasuk only, again, we're attempting to reject the extra lima that it's mufna. Because if we're trying to reject that it's mufna, we have to show that both of them are tzarech. Because ichas rachman alay alecha, because if the pasuk only said that which should not come upon you, hava mina kol derech alah as rachmana, anything which is the mean of placing it on your shatnez upon oneself, afilu mokre ksus, that even a person who's wearing it as a garment seller, that's also going to be usher. They have no intent to warm themselves. That is going to be usher to wear shatnez in that manner. So therefore, kazer one lo siba shatnez, the pasuk of lo siba shatnez is not wearing shatnez, specifically wearing, which we learn out, dumid delvisha de isbe anah. Specifically, similar to wearing, which would provide physical benefit. However, if you're just wearing it to show it, that is going to be wearing it as a sample, that's going to be mutter. That's the shita of Rashi. This is a very, very big machlokas we showed him. What do you mean? How could that be? This is shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We're in Rabbi Yehuda, holds a davar shenem miskaven is always usher. So even if you hold a great davar shenem miskaven, but for sure, here, even if I have no kavana whatsoever to have the hana, but still, if I am having benefit from it by wearing it and enjoying it, also, so that's also usher, meaning I mainly want to sell it. But I'm also, because it's cold outside, I'm wearing the coat of shatnez, it's usher, even if I want to sell it. So how is that mutter? So many Rishonim disagree with Rashi based on that, and they say that no, that only time that mocher ksus is going to be mutter, the mocher ksus is going to be mutter only when, let's say, it's summer, it's like 95 degrees, and then they show you winter coat on sale because they want to get an early sale on it, and then you're going to go there and you're going to say, oh, this talk is nice. So that clearly is not only is it like some benefit, and they just want to sell it also like the winter case, but here it's a negative, they don't want it at all, so therefore it's worse than a davar shenem miskaven, and that even Rabbi Yehuda would say there's mutter. This actually has big ramifications how we hold in this situation, because how is a person allowed to go to a fancy clothing store and try on a suit? This is a big shayla. People aren't even familiar with this b'chol shayla. Let's say, you know, Hugo Boss is famous for having many, I think now less, but many of their suits used to be, I don't remember if I'm not a while, but Lemaisa, their suits are known to have a lot of shatnez on them. So if you know for sure that they have shatnez on them, what do you have to try it on to see what size it is? So if you hold like Rashi and Echanami, maybe because you really just want to see if it's the size you want to buy, then you'll fix it after. That might have room to make up, but if you don't like the Darshan, which we are choshish for, then it's not going to be a problem. So if you know for sure there's shatnez on it, the sfeik is really how you could potentially get around it. If you don't know there's shatnez, maybe there's room to make up, and then you hold like Shitas Rashi. But if you know for sure there's shatnez, I don't think there's going to be any heter for that to try it on. You'd have to buy a size that you generally know, and then you have to get it taken the shatnez out, and then you get it tailored. That's the chora what you have to do. Okay, this is a much bigger shayla. I want to consult the Rav, and just mentioning the olive base over here with regards to this Gemara. So now the Gemara says, "Ikas rachmana lo silbash." Now if the Torah just said lo silbash, should not wear shatnez, then I would have said davka levisha nafesh anasa, only wearing a garment which provides physical benefit is aser. Avala alalo, simply putting it on oneself as a not necessarily as a full fledged a way of wearing it, but just less beneficial, but a way of like putting it on, like literally like spreading it out over you. Then therefore, what the pasuk has to say, kavdus mona le'al alecha, that it should not come upon you to teach you that shatnez is aser even for this purpose. That's still enough of a benefit, which is similar to levisha, which is going to be aser. So again, we have therefore just showed that this drush is necessary, and therefore, and if you want to say the derech of mufneh for Rabbi Yehuda, really, how is Rabbi Yehuda learning mufneh over here? That's the bikasha, right? Because it's not mufneh. The extra pasuk in Devarim is not extra. It's teaching you this halacha over here. So the Gemara says no, because im kain, if the pasuk in Devarim is only coming to teach you this halacha, lichtov rachmana lo sil bas shatnez. I would have said, don't wear shatnez. Tzemer pitch lamali. Why do I have to mention wool and linen? The fact that you're mentioning wool linen seems to be extra. Michti, kasav, ubeged, kalim, shatnez, loy, alech. The pasuk says you should not wear a mixture of shatnez upon you. What is beged? What is defined as a garment? Tanya Rishmal, we learn the name of Rishmal. Hol of a name of a Torah, stam begadim. Garments are mentioned in various psukim of the Torah. We don't know necessarily what's the thing by sherets and things like that become tame. What's considered a beged? And one instance is by wool and linen, specifically with regards to tzaras. It says over there, wool and linen, and specifically the garment that we're talking about. So we can learn from there that whenever beged is mentioned, it's going to be a klal uprat in a klal ala mashab uprat. That klal uprat, you have a generification, is all begadim. Then you specify, the specification over here is
Tzemer Pishtim. So Ma'al Pishtim Prat, that the halachas have to be similar to the Prat. So what's considered a beg in Kol Torah Kula? According to Rabbi Shmuel, only when it's Tzemer Pishtim, Av Kol Tzemer Pishtim. Tzemer Pishtim, because of Rachman Alamli, so then why do I have to mention wool and linen in the Pasuk in Devarim? Shema Minah Lefnuya, that must be to have an available drasha to teach you that we learn that tzitzis are going to be mutter with regards to kilayim, that it's going to be mutter if you have tzitzis on them. So the Gemara says, V'akasti Itzrach, no, the Gemara keeps persisting that no, maybe this is still a problem, because we can argue the following. We can argue Salta Dechamina, I could have argued that Wa'ad Ha'alahi, that when it regards to a place, it's only talking about putting, spreading upon yourself shatnez, which is limited to the garments of wool and linen. Because there, Delone Fashanosa, and that's a mamish, a full-fledged baggage. So there, we're going to say that it's also even by spreading it out, which is not the same form of actually wearing the garment. However, Valevusha Dinafish Anayasa, which are Levush, which is a much better physical benefit than I would have thought, Kol Tremine Asar Achmana, that the Torah is going to say any types of fibers are going to be Asar, not necessarily wool and linen, everything is going to be Asar. So the Gemara says, Kol Achmana Tzemer Pishtim. Therefore, to say that, you need Tzemer Pishtim. So again, the drush is necessary for a different limud and not for the purpose of what we're saying right now. So the Gemara says, no, Im Kain, if this were so, that the phrase wool and linen was written, Lishto Kraminai, that the pasuk should have remained silent and not mention anything. It tastes shatnez, shatnez meha'ala. I would have had like zero shav, as Rashi flushes out, or the Rishonim flush out, that shatnez over here in Vayikra talks about, it says ha'ala, and also by in Devarim, it says wearing, lashon of wearing, which is gzeirah shava. We therefore automatically learn that the ha'ala over here is regards to the iser. So the Gemara says that therefore we have a kasha over here that the tzemer bishtim really is necessary, and therefore I don't have a limud. So the Gemara now says that really, based on this, based on this, we're at the answer over there. We would have had Xerah Shava, I apologize, I don't know if I said this right. We would have had Xerah Shava that would have given us the answer, and therefore, we do have this extra lima, this extra pasuk is open to have this drasha over here, and therefore we came out that Semer Pishtim is in fact an extra limud, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is able to learn it out for the smuchim. Now the Gemara points out that this is only going to be according to Tadav Rishmal, who holds that beged stam always refers to wool and linen, which agav, this is where the big machlokas comes about. This is one of the main Gemaras. The Gemara is also Menachos. About, for tzitzis, what is chayav in the level of the race of tzitzis? It's a machlokas adi omazeh. Shulchan Aruch holds that you have to wear a wool garment. That's why many are makbid for that. The Gra was makbid for that. So many Ashkenazim are also makbid for that. The Ramah holds any beged is going to be a mitzvah daraisa. That's based on the other Rishonim. That's based on this Gemara, the Kaham Shechel Gemara over here. To Tanav Yishmael, because we learn the name of Yishmael, Taima de Kasar Rachmana Tzemer Pishtim. The reason that tzitzis is allowed to be made on Shatnez because it says wool and linen, which is an extra limit, because I know, Allah Vachi Kalayim Batitzis Havamina de Asar Rachmana, that would have thought that Kalayim Batitzis is going to be But wait a second, the pasuk says you should make tzitzis on the corner of their garments. All garments here are wool and linen. So Torah clearly means over here that tzitzis are made from garments either of wool or linen. The Torah tells us, you should make tchelas for the garment that required tzitzis, referring to even a linen garment. We're going to see that tchelas is wool. So according to Tana de Rishmel, the Torah clearly requires that a thread of wool be included in the tzitzis of a linen garment. Why have we have to have the limud again to derive that tzitzis overrides shatness? It's part of the minayu bay of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Am I the tchelas amru?" Now wait a second though. How do I know that tchelas is a reference to wool? Wool, midashish kitna, because in sheish, in the begadim of the bigdei kahuna, which are woven, is linen, tchelas amrahu. It must be that tchelas, which is another one of those fibers, is clearly that of wool. So as Rashi points out, tchelas agaman talashni v'sheish, then bad make us say bad, mishesh mazar, the learning we have from the word of bad, the Torah utilizes that bad as one of the four fibers, we learn out from there that it's included, it must be wool. So we see from over here that the Tana of Yishmael, that we derive the limud from tzitzis of writing shatnez, when it seems to be self-evident from the minei ubei of the pesukim. That's the kasha of the Gemara right now. So the Gemara says, no, itzrich. It's necessary. Because, I would have thought, as Rava had taught us, that Rava doesn't necessarily take this position. The Gemara says, I would have had it based on the limud of Rava. What does Rava tell us? Rava tells us the Rava Rami. Rava has a kasha. Ksiv ha-knaf. It says in one case, the tzitzit says ha-knaf, the corner. Min knaf, which implies the tzitzit should be made of the corner of the garment itself. The same, whatever material you're using as the garment, that should be like, if you're using silk, it should be silk strings. It's a fiber, it should be fiber strings. Ksiv tzemer pishtim. And and another pasuk says wool and linen. Specifically, wool and linen should be used as a tzitzit of all types of garments. So how is this? So Aki said, how does Rava answer this? Semer pishtim pochim. Wool and linen satisfy the tzitzit obligation. Beim amina, beim shlamina. No, the wool and linen can be used on any type of garment. So if you have a mesh or anything, or not get a mesh right now, but any other a cotton, then you could use that as wool and linen. Shar minin beminan potrin shalom minan ein potrin. But however, other types of fibers you're using as your beged, as your garment, then you have to use the same min as the garment itself. So if you're using, again, like silk, we said you'd have to use a silk garment. That was what we learned. So now, if we didn't say Tzemer Pishtim, I would have inferred from the term Tzitzis HaKnaf that we learned that the requirement of Tzitzis only by linen, and the requirement of Tchilas would have been different, that whole limud. Now the Torah is seemingly telling us it applies to everything. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, the Tana of Ishmael clearly disagrees with Rava, because Rava is assuming that you could have other minim, other than wool and linen, be Mekai in the midst of the Raisa of Tzitzis. But the Tana of Ishmael is understanding that only Tzemer Pishtim is going to be Mekai in the midst of Tzitzis. So therefore, the Gemara responds that no, because Itzrich, you need the limud, even according to Rav Ishmael, who argues on that point of Rava, that only way to Mekayim with Tzitzis Deraisa is with Tzemer Pishtim, because Saltek Ayamina, I would have said, Kidyuka de Rava, I would have said in the Diuk of Rava, Hakanaf Min Kanaf, to have that limud. I would have thought that you should make Tzitzis of wool for a garment of wool, Pishtim Pishtim, and wool, and a garment of linen for linen. And if you make threads of wool for a garment of wool and dye one of them blue to make it Tchelas, but if you have linen for wool and wool for linen, if you have a wool garment and linen strings, or vice versa, linen garment and wool strings, that's not going to be acceptable, and you would not need tchelas, and that's not the mitzvah of tzitzis. So therefore, kasa rachmana temer upishtim. No, tzitzis upishtim to teach you that you can have the filo temer, the pishtim, pichlo temer. You can have a garment that's full of linen and have a wool strings, and a wool garment that have linen strings, and that's going to be mutter according to Rabbi Shmuel. So then we are explaining why Rabbi Shmuel has just said that we need the derivation from the psukim from the tzitzis and shatnas. So now the Gemara is going to go on Be'ezhem in the tomorrow's daf. I don't know if I'll have a chance to record it, probably not. But Tenach is going to be the hemshech of the drasha Be'ezhem on tomorrow's daf. Have a wonderful Shabbos.